Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.
Brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' collapse against OKC. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Ray, I went back and watched the final 3 minutes of the Warriors-Thunder game again.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. It was very painful, but I decided to do it. I still can't believe they lost that game. I mean, they're sitting there in the third quarter comfortably in front, 15 ahead, and then even in the fourth quarter, things are going great, and the Thunder just end up scoring the last 13 points of the game, 22-5 run to finish up the game. The Warriors just couldn't figure out a way to close out that one.
Yeah. Well, if I could pick an old scab, I mean, I was there when they went 0 for the last 4 minutes in Game 7 of the NBA Finals with some of the most talented players in the league on the floor. So it does happen, and it's not terribly surprising that it would have happened with the group that they had on the floor last night. You know, who's going to be your go-to guy in that situation, right? Is it going to be Pascal? I guess so, but the defenses are learning how to key on him. Kai Bowman was having a nice game until the last 6 or 7 minutes of the fourth quarter when, you know, he had some terrible possessions. You know, is it going to be Alec Burks? Maybe Glenn Robinson, who was having a great shooting night. But there's no real go-to guy there. And you know, Oklahoma City definitely stepped up on defense. And the thing you do when you don't have that one guy who can kill you is you pressure the ball. And they did a lot of that. And with young players, well, they're going to make mistakes. Jordan Poole made mistakes. Kai Bowman made mistakes, and so on and so forth. So I just chalk it up to a whole lot of teachable moments in this game. And, you know, they got outscored 13-0 at the end against a team that's led by a veteran, Chris Paul, and Danilo Gallinari, also a big crafty veteran. He knew how to play Pascal. He knew that he knows how to draw a foul, and that's putting it charitably. So, you know, that's stuff you got to learn. Stuff Pascal's got to learn, the stuff that Kai Bowman's got to learn, that Jordan Poole's got to learn all the way down the line. And, you know, it was a brutal loss. It was a brutal lesson to learn. But in the end, I don't know how many fans are that crestfallen by it because they're looking at the standings and you turn it upside down and the Warriors are in first. So, you know,
for the pick,
they're
right.
Thinking ping pong balls and all that stuff. But, you know, like I said last week, wherever the Warriors land on that, they're going to figure it out. If they finish top three, you know, they're going to get a real good player or they're going to be able to package a trade. And in the meanwhile, I was looking who was sitting on the bench. There's Klay Thompson on the bench. There's Steph Curry on the bench. There's D'Angelo Russell on the bench. Kevon Looney may be coming back for the road trip. Draymond Green didn't play on his bobblehead night. So, yeah, it's tough to hold on to a lead in the fourth quarter against a team run by a you know, veteran like Chris Paul. It's too bad because I thought the effort for the first 40 minutes or so of the game was outstanding.
Yeah, the effort is just great. You know, I was thinking, I made this baseball analogy thinking to myself that if you had a baseball team in offense where every guy in the lineup ran to first base like Eric Burns or Pete Rose, it sounds impossible, right? Well, I mean, that's kind of what this team seems like. They're hustling on every play. You just don't see that from every NBA team, every NBA player, but they're going after balls, trying to save balls, and you got to give them that credit at least, that they are making it fun to watch, and then they're staying in games, and in this one, you know you should win that game, but at least it's an entertaining game, and with the players that they have on the floor, I mean, that's kind of all you can ask right now.
Well, it's funny. I was telling my wife this last night, watching the game, and she's like, oh, you're watching a now and then this, that, and I said, yeah, it's still entertaining. It's still interesting, because you're looking at how some of these players progress. you know, like I said, this is a redshirt season for the whole team. So he see who you can go forward with next year. And so I think, you know, despite the fact that he had a rough last few minutes, but Ty Bowman had a great game, and Steve Kerr wants to keep him. And I don't blame him for that. I think he's a piece you can build with for the future, and he's going to do a lot of learning this year. You know, as far as the older players, you know, I Glenn Robinson was great last night, and he's shooting 49% for the year and 42% from three-point range. That's not half bad. So, you know, this guy has bounced around the league, but maybe he's going to find a home here. He said some nice things about Kerr and, you know, how he's been so encouraging of him. You know, maybe that's a veteran that you can move forward with. And listen, I mean, guys who can play the wing and shoot threes, there's always going to be a job opening for them in the NBA. And, you know, stepping up on defense, too, a little bit better this year. And then, of course, Eric Paschal, who defenses are starting to key on now. I mean, you look at this bunch, I mean, that's the guy that you want to try to stop, because he's already shown early in the season that he's got a potent offensive game. He's very strong. And again, defenses are going to learn how to play that against him, as Gallinari did with the flapping and the flailing last night. So that's the part that's interesting to me. And at some point, you know, you want to see how they handle these close late game situations. They didn't handle it real well last night, and they don't, you know, they don't have that Mariano Rivera to close out the game. So they're in the process of finding out all that, and I'm okay with that.
Well, Robinson had a career-high 25 points. Ky Bowman, he showed off an array of moves, but like you said, he struggled at the end of the game, and one of the key moments really was that inbound play where he didn't come to the ball. I mean, they got to figure that out better. I mean, that was a key spot where they give up a turnover, just an easy layup. You just cannot do that in that kind of situation.
No, you got to get to the spot first and block him out and at least draw the foul. And there are a couple of other times, a couple of bad possessions where he's just dribbling the ball around, and they ended up getting Jordan Poole blocked in a three at the end of the game. You know, I mean, that's again, is part of the learning process. It's too bad, because earlier in the game, they were moving the ball really well on several possessions, and they just kind of went into hero ball. You know, I had a flashback to Jarrett Jack with Ty Bowman there at the end. He was trying to break down Gallinari, right? I took so many calls on post-game shows over the years about Jarrett Jack and how he was over dribbling. And the point I was trying to make is, okay, who's out there on the floor aside from Jarrett Jack at that point who could break somebody down one-on-one, right? And I think Jarrett Jack made the same determination. Well, there's nobody here. I got to do this. You know, Ty Bowman obviously wasn't quite as accomplished as Jarrett Jack. Jarrett Jack was a better player than Bowman is right now, but I think that was Bowman's mindset, is I can take this guy, and didn't work out. So you learn from it. Their shot selection, down the stretch was terrible. And that was a big part of it too. You know, you're casting off long threes and you get the long bounce and all of a sudden they're going downhill the other way. You know, again, teachable moments. That's all you have to chalk it up to. And a little bit about Jordan Poole, Joe, I think we had our season first last night. The first heat check three by Jordan Poole. He hasn't made enough to do a heat check. Well, he made two in a row, and then he cast off from about 28, and it was no good. And I mean, again, that's a guy who's going to have maybe more teachable moments than anyone.
I did want to talk about him too, because Bob Fitzgerald on NBC made some great points about Poole, and when he's trying to shoot off the dribble versus catch and shoot, he's just so much better catch and shoot when he has his feet set. I mean, he made a couple of really nice threes. He just looks so much better in that. Now, it's hard for him because I think it would be easy to get down when you look at a stat sheet. I mean, you look at what he's done on the year, his numbers are just so ugly, but he's got to just keep his confidence going. I mean, he was a first-round pick, so they're going to lay a lot of expectations on him, but there's no way he'd be getting this kind of playing time and, you know, these kind of shots if he was on a normal Warriors team that wasn't so injured. So I think what he's going through right now is really key for the Warriors. I mean, they don't want to have that draft pick be wasted.
Well, no, and they're not. I mean, that's the politics of it. They're going to give him every chance possible. There are the expectations, but they're not as great at the end of the first round, right? So this is, in a way, a perfect situation for him, the best possible time to shoot 25%, you know. And eventually, you hope as the season goes on, and you know, they've only played, what, 18 games, that that number goes up and he gains confidence. I mean, that's the hope. So in the meantime, a little painful. And, you know, again, his shot selection hasn't been good. He's rushed some shots, and I think clearly the slump has gotten to his head from time to time. But at the same time, he's bringing the energy. He's bringing the effort. And I think the more times that he has games that aren't awful shooting, I mean, just roll out like a 3-for-7, okay? Just do that. Even that will do something for his confidence. And I think that's what the Warriors are hoping for. You know, just keep firing away. You know, learn what your strengths are. Learn the spots on the floor where you're most comfortable. And eventually, you hope that he does get comfortable. In the meantime, yeah, they're piling up losses, but I don't think anybody's bothered too much by that right now, given, you know, the situation of the team. So, again, I think, in a way, it's the perfect situation for him to figure these things out over the next few months before Steph Curry gets back. And if he doesn't, well, that's on him.
It's kind of a good comparison to think about, you know, last year with Jacob Evans. Now, he didn't play much, but when he did play, he kind of looked similar, where he just didn't look like he could get locked in on his threes. And then early this year, before he got hurt, he looked like a different guy. So you wonder if that can happen with Poole, where, you know, you start to develop and you become sort of that different guy.
Well, yeah, that was another thing that was so frustrating at the start of the year, because he looked like he was going to be a player who was going to make a contribution. And, you know, he's been down for a while now. So that was a little frustrating. And again, that's a more minutes for a guy like Jordan Poole. You better take advantage of him. You know, at some point they get Evans back, they get Draymond back, they get Curry back, they get Looney back. And then you've got a team that's going to be pretty competitive in most games, if not all. And then, you know, we'll see where they are at the end of the year. But in the meantime, that's the frustrating part, because, again, it was an opportunity for a guy like Jacob Evans. Minutes were going to be there for him to continue his development, and that was going to serve him well going into next season, his third year in the league, where a lot of players do take a big step up. So just hoping he gets back soon enough to log some minutes and continue that arc.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this from Kane's Tire.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
If you go back to the Utah game, there was a play in that game that really kind of bummed me out watching it, and it involved Willie Cauley-Stein. He's going back on defense, and he doesn't pick up Gobert at all. I just didn't, to me, I didn't understand. That looked like sort of a high school type thing, where you're taught at an early age, and you're a big man, you got to pick up a big man when he's coming down the floor, and he just ignored him. And I don't know, you know, that's just one little capsule of what's gone wrong with the defense for the most part this year. And I know I did read a story, Ray, where the Warriors are playing some more zone. They feel like, you know, that'll help them because the man-to-man matchups aren't so good. But it's really something that it does get frustrating watching this team play defense sometimes.
Oh, I mean, Steve Kerr, I'm sure his expectations were low to begin with, so that kind of helps you keep your sanity. But there's so many times where they've been beaten down the floor defensively, and you just can't have that happen. And then again, you see the contrast between this team and the team of the previous 5 years, how good they were defensively, how locked in they were about not getting beaten down the floor. And, you know, every time, listen, in the NBA, every time you see that, a coach calls a timeout, you know, and an angel gets its wings. I mean, you can count on it. So, Willie Cauley-Stein, again, minutes are there for him right now because Looney's out, but I haven't been impressed. I haven't been impressed at all by what he's putting out there on the floor. So maybe it's a case where if you get him out there knowing that he's only going to have 15 minutes, you better take advantage of it. There's a better energy level there. Sometimes you just don't even know he's on the floor. They're going to get brutalized at the five several times this year, so you might as well try to play zone. There are going to be several teams who have good big men who are going to hurt them. But you get Looney back, and you, try to improve those numbers a little bit anyway.
One thing I did like was reading the Connor Letourneau story in the San Francisco Chronicle, and I always reference him. He does a really good job. He wrote a story about Cauley Stein learning from Steven Adams, which was encouraging to see that, he's trying to learn from other big men. And he was talking about how Steven Adams, when he knows he's not going to get the ball on an offensive set, he is thinking about the rebound, several seconds before the shot even goes up. And it sounds simple, but it is something that you got to do. You got to start boxing out early against some of these big men.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, you can't do it in a split second because their strength will just overpower you. You got to be prepared. And that's encouraging that Willie Cauley-Stein says that. And, learning from the right people is one thing to understand it. Intellectually, it's another thing to put it into practice on the court. And he hasn't done that on a consistent basis yet. That's not to say that he won't. Again, it's a long year. And, they've got him here this year for a specific purpose. And I think what's happening is he's getting more minutes than he would have normally. So he's getting exposed a little bit more on a team that also has a lot of other young players who are still learning and learning to communicate with each other. And they've been thrown together in this situation. So part of it is they've got to be more connected defensively, and that's just not going to happen overnight. And so for a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein, he's got to learn how to communicate with his teammates. And again, that's where Draymond Green comes in as the defensive quarterback, and he's not been out there. And it doesn't look like he's going to be out there for at least a few more games.
Another thing in that game against Utah was Spellman finding his rhythm from three, and he really didn't have that before earlier this year. Every once in a while he would take a three and you didn't really think it was going to go in, but he goes 4 for 4 and he seems like he's kind of found something there. I know he didn't make more than he made the one against OKC, but he's a guy who definitely can get you some rebounds. He can definitely bang. Yep. And if he has that outside shot and he can play off of that and drive to the basket, then he's adding something. And it seems like, maybe he's come up with something here.
Well, yet another guy that you're thinking about for the future that maybe he can help you out as a role guy off the bench. And, if he does that, if he's able to hit threes consistently and rebound, there's a place in the NBA for guys like that. So, he's still very young in his career, even though he's had a couple of missteps. He's kind of played himself into shape, and so I think he's getting his legs under him better for that three-point shot and allowing him a long course of a season to shoot it consistently. So, and it's another guy to watch. And, he's shown flashes of the kind of player that you say, this is a guy who could definitely help him out at low cost for the Warriors for the next couple of years. And they're going to have to find those low-cost pieces like that and draft picks because they're going to be spending a lot of money on a few guys. Clay's gotten his extension. Draymond's gotten his extension. Steph has his deal. So there's limited room there. So you got to find those bits and pieces to have around them.
Yeah, and another thing about Spellman is that it seems like he's been around, but he's only 22 years old, and he was a first-round draft pick. And that's the thing. You got Poole, first-rounder. Cauley-Stein, first-rounder. You got guys who definitely somebody saw something in them, and you hope that it comes out.
Well, that's certainly for any NBA team, it's a reason to want to give them a chance. Sometimes when it's a first-rounder, that's not necessarily an endorsement, depending on the team that chooses them, because a lot of teams mess it up. So it's not necessarily an endorsement. And you talk about the Sacramento Kings, it's hit and miss for them. But he was drafted very high. So, somebody like that, again, you're going to give them as much time as possible to show what they can do. So I think for those guys, they get another year or two. And when you're 22 and you're dealing with injuries and dealing with a couple of different coaches, a couple of different franchises, sometimes it's not the right fit for you. But again, the culture with the Warriors, even this year, is as much problems as they've had, I think the culture is still there and the team seems pretty well together. And so it's more of an encouraging environment even through the losses. And for players like Spellman, maybe that's exactly what they need. We'll find out.
Yeah, I didn't realize he actually was drafted in 2018. I thought he was a little bit older than that, but he did spend all the years in college at Villanova. And, it's the same thing when you think about Pascal, I mean, I guess that experience of playing in college, it should help. You see a guy who's a little more seasoned. I mean, Pascal, he still has some to learn, but it is good to see him out there performing the way he is in his rookie year, because he kind of doesn't seem like a rookie. I mean, he's definitely made a lot of strides offensively early in the season.
That's a guy who, you know, spent a little time in college in a good program. And, you know, those Villanova guys, they're pretty smart players. I mean, you know, Jay Wright's one of the better coaches in college basketball. He's gotten several guys prepared for the NBA. So not only the experience in college, but the good coaching in college. And, you know, he seems like Villanova attracts some pretty solid guys as well, and Pascal's one of them. He's very mature. Even though he's been in college a few years, he's mature still beyond his years, and has not been afraid of taking the bull by the horns early on in his NBA career. But yeah, those Villanova guys have impressed me the last few years, so that's another reason you give them a little extra look.
Chicago Bulls are coming in on Wednesday. They're off to a tough start, being at 6-12. So you know, a team that might look beatable on paper, but of course, you never know.
Well, again, the Warriors have played generally better at home, right? So, and Chicago's have been very choppy this year. They're 6-12. So, you know, that's what I look at, and I think they look at is one they have a chance to win. And, oh, by the way, on this upcoming road trip, I think there are a couple of wins possible there. I mean, not Miami. Miami's unbeaten at home, and they got a guy who's really stepped up this year in Bam Adebayo, a big man who's averaging 14-10. Who's really starting to learn the NBA game. He's going to hurt the Warriors at the five. But, you know, there are a couple other ones in there you look at and say, okay, Orlando, Atlanta, Charlotte, yeah, there might be a win or two there. So and I think this is going to be a good week or two to continue the development, and they get Kevon Looney back as well.
Yeah, that's going to help. I mean, it'll help when they start getting all these players. I mean, pretty soon the cavalry is coming back. I mean, with Draymond Green and D'Angelo Russell, you know, those guys come back, and it's a different team.
Yeah, and that's going to upset the people on Twitter who are all into the elite tanking. And that's the phrase I saw several times from several people last night. Elite tanking by the Warriors. I know they're laughing about it. It's a pretty good gag, but, for these guys who are fighting for jobs in the NBA, either here or elsewhere, and you're trying to learn how to win, this stuff's still important to them on an individual basis. And I think going forward, as we look into next year, who's going to remain here and what kind of experiences they get. So I think we're going to see several competitive games coming up. Let's put it that way.
Well, looking forward to it. Ray, have a great Thanksgiving. Everybody out there, happy Thanksgiving. Should be a good one, and look forward to talking to you about these games, the road trip and everything for the Warriors throughout the next week.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there, and we will talk to you again next week. I just want to let you know, I did not pardon our turkey. Sorry. we got mouths to feed.
Have a good I know you're out there getting your food right now. You're getting some barbecue, right?
Yeah, getting some good barbecue from Rudy's. You're in Goodyear, Arizona. So there's my free plug for them. You got to throw a little barbecue for a pre-Thanksgiving party platter. We're in pregame mode now, which means I got to get moving.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.